Hello everybody and welcome to Cooking in Real Time. My name is Zora O'Neill and I'm back with you after several long weeks. I know I've been leaving you nice little messages about handy tips for cooking and things like that, but it's been a while since we've actually cooked a whole meal together. And part of that is because summertime, it's just really hard to cook. It's so hot, it's very uninspiring, and I feel like 2 months out of the summer, I'm just sort of waiting for the produce to get really good. And that has finally happened. It's late August, the tomatoes are finally coming. They've been a little skimpy here in New York, but tomatoes are finally arriving, and we've got some corn, which is really good. And the main thing I'm gonna make tonight is just crab cakes, Baltimore-style crab cakes. The simplest, the easiest thing. You see crab cakes on every restaurant menu and there's always something done wrong to them, I swear. People start adding garlic or onion or I don't know what, little red peppers, little mango coulis, what have you. Like, you don't need any of that. The beauty of a crab cake is that crab tastes so good on its own. And really the only specialized ingredient you need aside from the crab is Old Bay seasoning. Which, if you don't live on the East Coast, you can probably ferret out in online if they don't stock it in your supermarket. It's a little mix of celery salt and black pepper and cloves and mustard seed and red pepper, things like that. Very savory, a little bit spicy. Yeah, the crab itself. So, that's the sticking point, right? I'll get into a little bit more detail, but before I start talking more, I will get one thing started, and that is I'm going to put on some water to boil for the corn. I'm just filling up a big pot here, but since I'm only boiling 2 ears of corn tonight, I'm not putting on a ton of water. So just putting some water in here and throwing in a good amount of salt. And I'll put that on to get boiling. All right, there we go. So, that is that. Boiling water takes time, but you don't have to boil a ton of water. The idea is you want to fit corn sort of compactly in a pot. Now I'm peeling my corn. That squeaking noise you sent here is a very good sign. It means this corn is relatively fresh, and the husks are giving a little squeak as they peel right off. This stuff looks nice. I don't get too fussy about getting all the corn silk off because a lot of it goes away when you boil it. So I love whole ears of corn, but I think in this case I'm going to break them in half just because they'll fit in a small amount of water better. There we go with the second ear of corn. Grilled corn is also fantastic if you're out grilling anyway. Just soak your corn for about 15-30 minutes in water with the husk still on, and then just toss it on the grill. And just by soaking it in water, you're getting enough moisture in there that it can kind of steam in its own little natural wrapper. So the corn is ready. That one thing down. Tomatoes are pretty much gonna speak for themselves. I'll leave slicing those up till later. And so we're back to the crab cakes. Like I said, the Baltimore-style crab cake, totally simple. It's really just a little egg for binding, some mayonnaise for moisturizing, I suppose, and good mouthfeel. A little bit of mustard for spice, for heat, really. And then some Old Bay seasoning. Oh, and some breadcrumbs to hold it together a bit. And some baking powder. Which is interesting. This is not something I would have come to naturally by myself, but I'll tell you where I got this recipe. Peter and I were down in Baltimore, and normally we go to Fadley's, which is absolute favorite. If you ever go there, highly recommend. But we had already eaten at Fadley's, and then we were taking a cab somewhere else, and someone recommended another place to us, sort of way out in the boonies. And we went there in a separate cab. It was a very long weekend. And on our way to that joint, our taxi driver started talking to us. She was a woman named Miss Amelia. And she gave us her recipe for crab cakes. And she's a purist. Again, nothing fancy. But she actually was so kind as to write down her entire recipe on a piece of paper. And put her phone number in case we had any questions. Unfortunately, I think I've since lost that piece of paper. So if we have any problems tonight, we just have to work it out ourselves. I have made these crab cakes from her recipe before. It's such a vague recipe, it's not specific proportions at all, so it's kind of my own fault if it screws up. The one thing she specified, though, getting back to the crab issue, the one thing she specified is crab must be Maryland crab only, and we're talking blue crab here, which is really so delicious. Although I totally understand if you are somewhere and you can't get this particular kind of crab. Tonight I happen to have a whole bunch of it because we ate steamed crabs last night and then picked all the extras. So now we have a bunch of already shelled crab. If you can get crab already picked and cooked from your fish store, by all means get it. It's going to be a little expensive, but the taste is so delicious. It's really worth it. So now I've just popped open my little tub of crab from last night, leftovers. I'm weighing it. That's about half a pound. The only specifics that Miss Amelia really told us is it's 1 pound of crab to one egg, which is not actually a lot of egg at all. And I think because I only have half a pound of crab and I actually don't want to cook all that up into crab cakes, this half a pound of picked crab, just to give you an idea, is about a pint of crab. Think of a pint of beer full of, a beer glass full of crab. That's what I've got. That's going to make way more crab cakes than I want to eat on this hot and sweaty night. So what I'm going to do is you're probably going to work with about a quarter pound of crab, maybe about a third actually. And I know that's not really optimal with our egg proportions, but we'll sort of eyeball it and see how it goes. First, let me get out my little panko crumbs. Where are they? Oh, here we go. Panko breadcrumbs are Japanese breadcrumbs, and I really suggest you track some down. They're nicer and crispier and fluffier than sort of regular Italian breadcrumbs you might get at the store. Yeah, they just stay crispy longer, and they have a little bit more texture. So they're good for coating things and for sort of mixing in and giving things body. So I'm setting those here. Okay, first we want to add the wet stuff just to see how everything's mixing up. And I guess the best way to approach the whole, not quite a whole egg factor, is just to put one egg in a bowl, and I'm going to whisk it up with a fork and then dribble about half of it in with the crab. Getting the yolk and the white nicely mixed together there, making it a little bit frothy. And the more you mix it, the less it's going to want to glom together in one whole piece. Don't sweat it. Okay, I've dribbled in about half an egg there. This is obviously not at all an exact science, and I've definitely had all kinds of different crab cakes, some that are very eggy, some that aren't. They're all good, as long as you don't get carried away with the seasoning and you fry them up nicely in a little butter in a pan, they're going to taste great. So you've got a lot of leeway here, and you can always adjust according to your tastes as well. But I would not be, you know, breaking a sweat over whether you've used exactly the right amount of egg. All right, egg, a little mayonnaise. And that I'm going to put in, for this amount, I'm going to put in about a tablespoon of mayonnaise. And a little mustard. The crab cakes at Fadley's have a really nice, like, noticeably mustardy kick to them. It's not overpowering, but it's just enough to make you go, spicy. So I'm putting in about a teaspoon of Dijon mustard. And licking off the spoon, delicious. And I'm gonna shake in some Old Bay right away. This, again, is kind of up to your taste. Probably starting with half a teaspoon. But I think, honestly, I think our little tin of Old Bay seasoning is not the freshest. So I'm gonna add quite a bit more. And this mix, you can hear me stirring it up and it's a little bit squelchy. That's going to be too wet, which is why we're adding the breadcrumbs. And I'm shaking in a bit more Old Bay seasoning, or maybe up to, I don't know, 3/4 of a teaspoon. Several very big pinches. The mix with all the Old Bay has taken it on a faintly orangey cast. And if you're squeamish, you might not want to do this, but you can always pick out a piece of crab and taste it. I know there's raw egg in there, so if you don't feel comfortable doing that, that's fine, but I personally don't think that will wreck you. So, all right, we've got that, and oh, I'll put in the baking powder. I think I'm going to put in, I'm not quite sure how much here, but 1/4 teaspoon. Mix that in really well. And the baking powder gives it a nice little fluffiness that it wouldn't otherwise have. And now I'm putting in, a heaping tablespoon of breadcrumbs, of these panko crumbs. So basically, you want just enough breadcrumbs to make the whole mix hold together and not lose its shape too much when you put it in the pan, but you don't want so much that you end up killing the taste of the crab. And the other thing that'll help this hold together a bit is if we stick it in the fridge to chill. It's helpful that I'm starting with very well-chilled crab meat. So I feel like we already have a leg up. All right, just tidying up my spices here. I think this mix is pretty good. I think I might put in a teensy bit more in the way of breadcrumbs, like another teaspoon or so. All right, that should do it. I don't know if you can hear, but the squelching is not quite what it used to be. This is looking like sort of a dry tuna salad mix. All right, the corn water is boiling. So what I'm going to do here is the corn is only going to need about not even 3 minutes. So I'm going to start the little crab cakes first. If I can get either of my burners to light. Oh, there we go. I would say the really essential thing to crab cakes is butter. Do not skimp on the butter. I think even in Baltimore, people tend to bake their crab cakes more and not fry them so much. But the butter and the crab together is such a perfect flavor combination. So I'm just going to melt about a tablespoon of butter in the pan. I've got that turned down to medium low. And while that's happening, I'm going to shape my little crab cakes. I guess the easiest thing you want to do is, some people just do this in their hands. The easiest thing is just to grab a couple spoons. And really you want to shape these into like small hamburger patty size. You don't want them too tall because then the inside is not going to get properly warmed up before the outside gets nice and brown. I would say a very modest, thick hamburger shape. This is going to make 2 pretty big crab cakes. So, 1 for each of us. If I were eating this maybe when the weather wasn't so hot, I would maybe be making bigger portions, but I think this will do well. Oh, my butter is sizzling. I'm turning that down. Using my spoon to shape these into little patties. And I'll put a photo of the uncooked patties up on the website so you can see kind of what the texture looks like, that kind of thing. I have to warn you, it's going to look totally, totally unappetizing. Like I said, these have sort of a beige-orange cast to them now since I added the Old Bay. You'll notice I didn't add any salt, but the mayonnaise is pretty well seasoned. And the Old Bay is pretty spicy, and You can always add salt at the table. The butter, my butter is probably salted because I usually buy salted butter. Again, you don't want to overwhelm things with the crab because it is such a great flavor. Okay, so my butter is melted. I'm just going to slide my little crab cakes into the skillet. And as soon as they're in there, I'm going to turn the heat back up to medium. As soon as they're in there, I'll put the corn in. There we go. Yeah, speaking of baking and frying, Miss Amelia's recipe did end with baking these guys in a 450-degree oven, which you can do. You can totally do. I would still, like, brush them in melted butter or something, which I guess, you know, cancels out the effect of baking them, but Miss Amelia did admit that, like, oh, we used to fry them, but now we think that's not so healthy, so we bake them. I figure, you know, I'm not eating these every single day, so it's really not going to be so terrible. And butter is so good. So those are sizzling nicely. I'm turning the heat down to about medium-low, and I'm going to put a lid on briefly just so I can get the middle of those heated up before everything gets too brown. So I've got a lid on my skillet, and now I'm going to throw my corn in the pot. And that's only going to need really a couple of minutes, just until it turns a little bit yellow. And while those guys are going, I'm going to slice up the other ingredient, which is simply one nice big garden tomato that our neighbors gave us, which is super nice. I know this does not constitute a recipe, but it's one of those things that you should enjoy if you have a chance. And really, when it's good, all you need is a little bit of salt. If it's not so good, you can beef it up with some good olive oil drizzled on, or if you want to be more in keeping with the flavors of this meal, just drizzle a teensy bit of melted butter over them and sprinkle on some salt, ideally some salt that has a little texture, a little grainy kosher salt or flaky sea salt or something, so that with each bite you get a little hit of the salt and the butter and then the sweet tomato. You could sprinkle over some basil if you want some color. And I kind of wish I had that just for the sake of the photos for this dinner, but I don't, so. All right, taking the lid back off my little crab cakes. And I probably should have looked for the spatula before I embarked on this. Here we go. Wrestling it out of the dish rack. They're already sounding very, very, very sizzly. And my butter is looking quite brown. Oh no, they're all right underneath. I'm just checking to make sure they haven't gotten too brown. I'll put the lid back on. I think they're all right. Turn the heat down just a smidge. When you put the lid on a pan, it's holding the heat in the pan, so generally you don't have to keep the burner up quite as high as if you were cooking in an open pan. So I'm going to take this opportunity to wash up what's in the sink. As usual, you want to clear the decks a bit before you even sit down to dinner. Okay, great. And the corn looks done. When it's good corn, it really just needs boiling for a couple minutes max, just enough to warm it up and soften the kernels a teensy bit. So that's done. I'm going to drain the water off. Getting a little quickie facial from the steam. Great. Very handy. And since it's just the two of us tonight, I'm going to go ahead and leave that corn in the pot, and I'm going to just drop in like half a tablespoon of butter and toss it around with the hot corn so it's ready when it goes on our plates. Okay. So I'm going to steal the lid back from the skillet and put it on the corn and let that butter finish melting. And now I think my crab cakes are ready to flip. You can hear them sizzling away. Ah, there we go. I will note that, like I said, my butter has gotten quite brown, and there is a point where butter is unattractively burnt. So if you want to, keep an eye on the heat just to make sure at the beginning that your butter doesn't get totally burnt. The nice way around that is to use what restaurants call clarified butter, which is essentially the same thing as Indian ghee. It's where the milk solids in the butter, which are the things that burn, have been cooked out and skimmed off, and so you're left with basically butter concentrate, delicious essence of butter, super delicious and buttery tasting, and it doesn't burn in the pan, which is why restaurants use it all the time. So it's nice to have a jar of ghee in the house. You can buy it at lots of Indian grocery stores. It's also pretty easy to make. You basically just simmer the butter for a long time until everything separates, and then you pour it through a really fine cloth, and you're done. So if I'd had any ghee, I would have used that tonight because it would have added this especially luscious butter flavor, and it would not have gotten dangerously brown, but we're doing fine with what we have. And those are nearly done. I've flipped them over and the top crust is looking so gorgeously brown. So all we have to finish doing is putting out our plates. Let's see here. Oh, it's summer. Maybe I'll use some cute plates. Oh, good. I have my New Jersey state plate. I associate summer meals of corn and tomatoes with New Jersey, of course, because, oh, at least in my youth, that's where they were best. And I think they still are, although nothing quite tastes the same these days. So I'm just laying out the tomato slices on the plate and sprinkling salt over. Sprinkling the salt over a little bit in advance kind of gives a chance for the salt to get in there and letting it ooze the tasty juices out, so it's that much more flavorful when you bite into it. You can grind on some black pepper if you want, or just leave it as is. And let me check on our corn. Yeah, all that butter is very, very nicely melted. This makes, now that I've coated honestly absolutely everything with butter, it makes it a little more difficult to eat, but I think we'll manage. Yum. And I love the color of corn and tomatoes together. It really looks like summer. I'm just going to drizzle. I've actually got a little tiny bit of butter left in the bottom of the pan here. I'm just drizzling that over the corn and just a little on the tomatoes because it can't hurt. And everything is looking quite good here with my little crabby cakes. Oh, hello, handsomes. The only thing you really want to look out for, like I said, the crab is all cooked. The eggs are not, however, so you want to make sure everything's kind of dry in the middle, but it's nothing that's really going to ruin you. I'm going to put the lid on for just a couple more seconds, and then we're going to call it done. My usual New Jersey corn and tomatoes meal when I was a kid is we would go and visit my aunt and uncle who had a beach house on the shore, which was so fantastic. I guess it was a shore house on the shore, but anyway. And we would get Jersey corn, Jersey tomatoes, and then deep fried scallops from the restaurant down the street. Oh, man, those were the days. I went down there a couple of years ago, and again, like, stuff just doesn't taste like it used to. I don't know if it's an actual decline in quality or the forces of nostalgia cannot possibly compete with what actually exists in reality. But still, I do taste this stuff and think of excellent summers. So, all right, those crab cakes must be done. That's all I gotta say. All right. Excellent. Sliding each one onto the little plates. And we are done. I have to add the one other thing in Miss Amelia's recipe, which kind of cracked me up, was she said, oh, you can add some dried parsley too, or some chopped parsley fresh, whatever you want, just to make it look pretty, which there would be something to be said for having an actual green thing on this plate. So if you want to do that, if you want to garnish, or if you want to put some basil on your tomatoes, it does round out the look of the meal. Otherwise, though, it's going to taste buttery and salty and fantastic and very, very summery. So that's been Cooking in Real Time. I'm Zora O'Neill, and if you have any requests, certainly drop me an email. I'm at zora@cookinginrealtime. As usual, you can get all the recipes and everything on the website at cookinginrealtime.com. Thanks for listening, and happy eating.